Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Yes, let it be a sweet sound to you. Let everything that we do be a sweet sound to you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen, amen. I just want to quickly share a testimony. When my wife and I, you can take your seat. You've been standing out for a while, take your seat. When my wife and I were trying for our first child, it took about 3 years before it actually came about. And I remember the tension at nights and the disappointment and the frustration that happened. But I remember I received a word from the Lord about it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Dave, you actually need to start to declare things differently. Because sometimes when you're in seasons of disappointment, you start to vocalize your disappointment. And we need to understand that actually the words that we speak are not just words, they're seeds that bring forth future, that bring forth destiny. And the Bible says in Proverbs that both life and death are found in the power of the tongue. And so the Lord started to really hammer me about, hey, you need to change the way you're talking about this. And we did all the things, went and see a doctor, went and saw a Russian doctor. I don't know if that helped anymore, but it turned out it did, because Sabella has been, every time I see her, every time I say her name, every time we hang out together, I remember the promise of God has come to fruitfulness. And I want to encourage everyone here, this is not just about a baby, but about whatever it is that God has placed upon your heart. If he has said it, our job is to partner with him. Our job is to partner with what he says. Not allow the frustration and disappointment to dictate our communication and our language and our frustration and our words and the seeds that come out, but actually what he has declared is the word that we stand on. And we shall see it come to pass. I want you to turn in your Bible to James chapter 3. Only a couple of verses. James chapter 3, verse 6. I want to talk on the power of your words, the power of your tongue. There are people in here that actually the Lord is saying to you today, today is the day that your talk changes. The words that come out of your mouth change. James chapter 3 and verse 6, James is talking about taming the tongue and how difficult it can be, and if anyone can do it, they're going to be of perfect. But I love how he puts this. He says, look at ships also. Though they are so large, they are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot decrees or decides. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. The words that we say actually matter. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that when God was forming the world, that he spoke it and it came into existence. That he said, let there be light, and there was light. Light came because God first spoke. Then you get to, he creates everything and he forms man out of the ground. He doesn't just speak about man, he actually forms man. In other words, you were put together with purpose and intent and destiny. He breathes into us and he says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. In other words, the same creative power that God used to create the world that we live in is also in your tongue. The same creative power that created everything that you and I now see today is actually there because someone first spoke something. Words are powerful. You may have heard of the great speeches throughout the time, Martin Luther King. I dream of a day where little black boys and little white girls can play together. We highlight these things, but what it is it's words that are powerful, that they create images, they create possibilities, they create hope about the future, and they actually create things. And what I find so interesting in my life is the battle that I have had to wage about putting a filter over my mouth. There is a war on to whether or not you are going to partner with heaven and decree what heaven says, or whether or not you are going to partner with how you feel, how you see things, your frustrations, and release that into the world. I can remember growing up so many times, and many of you have heard this story, but I really lacked self-esteem and I thought really down about my mouth. The language that I used confirmed that. Oh, I'm not good enough to do that. I'm not talented enough to do that. I'm not eloquent enough to do that. I'm not gifted enough to do that. And it creates within you these cycles. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And how does he do that? He seeds thoughts in your mind that all of a sudden that thought, you meditate on it, and as soon as it starts to come out of your mouth, all of a sudden it's created something. It's a seed that's gone there. But there comes a point where you need to decide, whose word are you going to trust? Whose word are you going to rely on? Again, in Genesis, we hear the story of in the garden, God puts all the trees, but he puts two specific trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he says to Adam, you can eat of every other tree, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's interesting that the very first thing that the enemy challenges is, what did God really say? You would die. Yeah. You know what I find interesting is that when God actually births something or prophesies something or declares something over you, which might I add, sometimes takes somebody else to come in and partner with God, because we are too mute or we've got like headphones on, that God wants to get that word into you, but for whatever reason, we're just dull of hearing it. And he is trying to get what is heaven onto earth. He just needs someone that would partner with him to declare it. Oh, that we would be the people that hear what God is saying, that know what heaven is like, and look at our situation not going, oh no, what am I going to do about it? But we would step in and we would decree, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your words are powerful. They can change scenarios. They can change situations. They can change relationships. I remember when I was growing up, I had an incredible PE teacher. His name was Tim Maxwell, and he was a great PE teacher. He was always encouraging me. And I did Extension PE, which is our PE elective, purely because of him. And we did this one exercise where we were learning about motor skills. And part of the practical part was we would get two tennis balls and we had to practice 5 minutes every night juggling two tennis balls with one hand. So, of course, the first time you pick that up, you start to try it and you maybe get one or two and the balls start going everywhere. And you spend more time running after the tennis ball than you actually do juggling it. And it was so frustrating. For someone who just wants to get it right, it was so frustrating. I was so annoyed. I was getting so... And my teacher came to me and said, Dave, just do the process. I guarantee you things will change. Those words, I went, okay. It's okay that things are like this at the moment because they're not going to stay like this.
So I practiced 5 minutes each night. By the end of the week, when we came back to measure how many times we could juggle it, it was like 10 times what I could do in the first scenario. Why? Because there was a word to say, hey, stick to the process. I know it's uncomfortable right now, but trust me, it's going to be all right. For some of us, we've heard a word and we've tried to step out and tried to step into it, and it's been uncomfortable, it's been forced, it's been difficult. We thought, oh no, I missed the word. No, you didn't miss the word. Just trust the process. Just trust the process. It will come to pass. Don't change the narrative. Don't change the word that the Lord has been saying over you just because you don't see it right now. I love what it says in this verse. It says that this small rudder will move this ship wherever the pilot decides, directs, wherever he intends it to go. Here's my question, is how many times have the words that have come out of my mouth been, or your mouth, been actually what God is directing in my life, or been what I'm complaining about in my life? Because what we give our time to changes things. Do you know that God actually loves you and needs you to fulfill his purpose in this planet? Like he desires so deeply that he would work through you to see his kingdom come. He limits his sovereign nature in order to go, you know what, I could just go and do this, but yet I want to use Joel to see my purposes come. I want to see this person. I want to see my will come about through this person. And yet sometimes, because we see all of our the things that we're not good at, all of our deficiencies, all that stuff, we fail to believe, and yet we're right back like Adam was in the garden going, God, did you really say? And then we turn to the tree of what we think is the knowledge of good and evil, and we'll get it right, and we partake of it wondering why it's not working. Because we actually find life through partaking and meditating and feasting on the word that he has given us. That's what changes us. That's what changes our world. What words have you allowed to go on the back burner? What words have you left behind? What words have you said, you know what, it's too far gone, the moment's gone, it's not going to happen, it's not going to be able to happen right now, I'm not going to be able to do this. What words have you left behind? Because I actually think they are the doorways to see heaven invade earth. They're the words, they're the connection points, they're the heaven invading earth moments if you were just believe him at his word. All your words are powerful. I went through a period in my life where I covered our mirror at home. This is before I was married, so Mum was pretty upset with me. But all of these words that were over my life, I just got like white out. One time, I got whiteboard marker. It wasn't whiteboard marker, it was permanent marker, so Mum was pretty upset. But I'm like, because every time I go in there, I wanna remember what God's actually said over my life. I wanna get and say, okay, God, what have you actually declared over my life? Psalm 139 was a key passage that I read down. It's a fairly long time, but I took like these things and I'd write it down. I'd go, okay, God, this is the way you think about me. It was a big mirror, all right? Big mirror. See, for some of us, the word that we're looking for is actually found in these. It's just whether or not we're willing to go looking for it. Like will we do what we need to? If you knew that your financial freedom was found in a particular field, in the gold in the ground, would you not just go and dig up every ounce of dirt to go and find it? Yeah. The gold that you need in your life is found in these pages, in these words that have been kept since the beginning of the world, and they are right there waiting, waiting. No respecter of person, waiting for someone to pull them out and say, that's gold. That's what I'll believe. That's what I'll see. Proverbs chapter 4 is such a great chapter. Particularly, this is a very well-known proverb in verse 23. It says, keep your heart for all vigilance, for out of it flow the springs of life. For out of it. Do you know one of the ways that you actually know what's in your heart? Is watch what comes out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's interesting when I'm meeting with people or connecting with different people, if I want to get a bit of a gauge on where their heart is, I just need to keep them talking. Just ask questions. Just ask questions. You will learn really quickly where they're at. And the same thing for me is there are moments where something has slipped out of my mouth. Like I've said something like, oh, no, I don't want to reap a harvest of that seed. Lord, I curse that right now. And I go and I find something that says, okay, Lord, you said this. All right, I'm going to declare this over my life. So we started off talking about kids. Raising kids is a fun experience. I believe it shows you more about you than it actually does about your kids. But maybe that's just me. I'm a flawed father. I can't tell you how many times my beloved Roman has been just a young boy, just a little boy, and I've said, and something has come out of my mouth, and I'm like, I vowed that I would never say that. I vowed that I would never do that because that's like my dad saying things. That's like, I remember this one, you are so frustrating. And the Lord started to speak to me about, really, is Roman frustrating? I'm like, yes, he is. And then, or is it just that you don't have enough patience? You know, James also talks about how else to get patience. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the persecution produces steadfastness, patience. Sometimes when we say, Lord, would you give me patience? That's a dumb prayer. What's a better prayer is, Lord, help me to exercise my patience better. Because I very quickly learned out of the words that I said, all of a sudden, it's like a mirror revealing to me the very thing that's inside my heart. We've been in an interesting season, and the band can come back because I'm pretty well finished. We've been in an interesting season. You know, if you had spoken to me at the start of the year, what were your hopes? What were you looking forward to? I was like, yeah, it's going to be amazing. And then all of a sudden, a specific situation happens and your world is turned upside down. And you're left kind of pondering many different things And I remember many times, and if I'm honest, I can still hear this a little bit, but I'm like, it is so easy in the midst of where things don't go the way that we think for our language to start to change, for our words to start to change. For what was in one season, a season where you could hear hope, destiny, possibility, amazement, testimony, all of a sudden, because one thing happens, things turn inward. Oh, if only. And as I pondered about this, I realized how easy it was for me to step into this victim mentality and allow myself, because of the words that I started to partner with, frustration. And I get it. We all get frustrated at times. I understand that. But the Bible says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So actually, what sometimes is you venting is actually not you venting. It's you sowing bad seed. Actually, the proper place for that is to go to the Lord. And actually, no one will probably hear about that other than the Lord. And I say that because I've been guilty of that myself. Because here's the thing. When we start declaring specific words, they gain momentum. They gain momentum. This word begets another word, begets another word, begets another word, begets another word. All of a sudden there's momentum. The same is true in the negative. There's a negative thought, a negative comment, then a negative comment. Oh yeah, oh yeah, a negative comment. And there's this momentum that just starts to build. We actually partner with Satan when we start to declaring the negative things over people's lives and over situations. And I feel to say that needs to stop. There are people here that for years and years and years, you've been really okay with talking down to yourself, with talking down to other people, with complaining. And tonight, it stops. Tonight, you get a new language. Tonight, you have an invitation to find the tree of life again. To find the words of life again. Everything changes based upon what you believe and what you confess. Everything changes. Death and life. Every time you speak, it's a choice of two things, death or life. Death or life. And for some of us tonight, what we're going to do is we're actually going to curse the seed of death that we've sown with our words, so we don't see the harvest of that. But we're now going to start to sow seeds of hope, of belief. I believe tomorrow is going to be better than it was today. I believe that I'm stepping into the fullness of what God has called me to do. I believe that today I meet with God and he has a fresh word for me today. Oh, today I hear, I speak. When I pray, things change, things shift, things move. I'm not just lowly old Pastor Dave. No, I am a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when I declare things, even though I don't see it right there, everything changes in that moment. Everything changes. Oh, how different this world would be if the very bride of Christ would understand the words that we declare are ruddering us to a place of heaven or a place of eternal separation from Jesus. Last Saturday, I was just driving my car and I saw this particular road rage incident happen right in front of me. Guy gets out of his car, starts beating on this lady's window. I'm like, what in the world is going on? What has this world come to? And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden God speaks to me. He says, hey Dave, what do you think heaven says about this situation right now? Now, for me, I love great questions. That for me is a really good question. I'm like, I'm gonna put that in my back pocket for later. Why? Because it shifts my perspective from what I'm seeing right now to God, what do you say about this? Because I don't wanna partner with what I see, because I don't trust what I see. I trust what you say. I trust what you say. And if you say, oh, that love is greater than hate, that you've provided a way where there seems to be no way, then my actions are going to lead towards demonstrating that. Why don't you stand all over this place? Pray for a couple of groups of people. First group is if you are really honest with yourself, the words that you speak over you have not been great, have not been edifying, have not been encouraging. In fact, if you heard somebody else say that about somebody else, you would get really upset. But you're just so used to doing it that's just become like white noise. It's just what you do. And can I just say for a moment, us as Australians, we do this so often, but we say it's like sarcasm. It's like humour, our Australian humour. We have a dig at somebody and it's like, that's how you know that I really care about you. And whilst on one hand, I don't want us to be un-Australian. I want us to be who we are. But I want us to be actually people who just pull people out of their mess and world and say, hey, there's something about you that the world needs to see. There's something on your life that needs to change. Oh, if you could only see what heaven sees over your life right now. If you can only start to declare the words, the thoughts that God thinks about you. Oh, if you could only meditate on what He actually thinks about you. Oh, your talk would totally change. So if you're here today, you're like, okay, I need to change. This needs to change. Today is the day where it breaks off your life. And that spirit, that whispering spirit that's been speaking into your ear, and it's become so familiar, you think it's even your own thoughts. It ends today. If that's you, why don't you come to the altar right now? Come. It ends today. It ends today. You know what a familiar spirit is? Familiar spirit is something that has been speaking to you for so long that you think it's your own voice. And it's an assignment from the pit of hell that's designed to steal, kill, and destroy. And tonight, it ends. And God, I thank you, even right now, you are setting people free. I speak to that spirit that has come to steal, to kill and to destroy, that plagues the thoughts, that plagues and says you're not good enough, that you're not talented enough, that you are never enough, that ends tonight. Leave right now in Jesus' name, never to return, never to return. And God, I thank you right now that the words of heaven, God, you said in your word you had more thoughts about us than we could ever contain. I pray right now, like a blanket, that it would come from heaven right now and cover every single person right now in Jesus' name. Come and flood every thought. I pray that the mercy of heaven, that the goodness of heaven would start to come and flow like never before. That tonight everything changes. That even as we go back to family members who we haven't seen in a while, they say there's something different about you. There's something that's changed about you. And you'll say, yeah, that's because the Lord has started to declare exactly what the way He made me and who I am. And my words are now lining up with the very thing that He created me to be. Holy Spirit, our teacher, our counselor, and our guide, I ask that every time a word that is not from heaven would utter out of our mouth, Lord, that you would awaken our conscience. You would awaken us again. You would awaken us to the very thing that we are not sowing seeds of destruction,
No, we are those that sow seeds of hope, of destiny, of future, the words of heaven, that the very word of heaven, the very kingdom of God would start to come out of our mouth. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We're going to sing a song, and I just want to ask any of our team, I want us to come along right now and just lay hands on people. I believe people are going to get delivered. People are going to get set free. You are going to get a brand new mind, a brand new awareness of the Holy Spirit, the Lord speaking to you like never before. So God, I pray even in these next few moments, God, as we lay hands upon them, God, I thank you. It shifts, it breaks, and it's never to return. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's sing together. We're going to do one really important thing, and I believe it's just going to unlock something right now. And that's we're going to repent of the words that we've partnered with that aren't from heaven. That we are going to repent and disconnect from the very seeds that we've sown, that the enemy has even come in and said, that's who you are. And I believe what's going to happen is as we repent right now, there's going to be a disconnect. The very thing that's been binding you, the very thing that's been binding you is all of a sudden going to let go. And then we're going to sing and we're going to worship and we're going to shout and we're going to praise, because all of a sudden it's a brand new day. Everything's changed. The old is gone. The Bible says that when you repent, the Bible says that God forgives you and never remembers it again. Never remembers it again. It's a brand new day. So here's what I want to say. I want you to repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I repent of every word that has come out of my mouth that has not come from heaven. I ask you would forgive me. I ask that you would cancel the harvest of those words. And Lord, I'm asking right now, Lord, that you would fill my mind. You would fill my lips with the words of heaven. Let me see different. Let me talk different. Let everything change from this moment on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can we just give Jesus a shout of praise? Come on, let's sing, Death Could Not Hold You.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step.
and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.